Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
Well, religious liberty and religious freedom sound like good things, don't they? At least they did until about 5 minutes ago when they became code in some people's minds for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, you name it. All of that apparently now fits into the idea of religious liberty. Where did this idea come from? And it's even more disturbing when we hear such assertions from the U.S. Civil Rights Commission, which we actually have. There's a Washington Post story, Civil Rights or Religious Liberty, What's on Top? And the U.S. Civil Rights Commission says, well, civil rights, certain kinds of civil rights, like sexual freedoms, they trump religious liberty. Joining us to talk about this new report, Roger Severino. He's director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation, based in Washington, D.C. Roger, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me.
I'd like your response to what the chairman of the U.S. Civil Rights Commission had to say, Martin Castro, recently in the Washington Post. He said that true religious liberty and religious freedom should be about allowing Americans to freely practice their faith, and it is not and should never be about preventing others from living their lives freely and equally. What's your response?
He's correct in a proper sense of the understanding of freedom. If freedom really is where people get to live their lives as they want, then there's a lot of truth to that. That's not what he's saying, though, in his report. His report is really slanted and anti-religious, and he's doing a bit of damage control. Religious liberty is about freedom from government coercion. What he is talking about is having government coerce and discriminate against people of faith when they disagree on issues related to sexual morality. That's what this is all about, and that's what the report is about. And it is dripping with anti-religious statements, because whenever the new left gender ideology or sexual orientation ideology bumps up with religious freedom, according to Castro, religious freedom should lose. That's not live and let live. And he's made some other statements in that report, and I'll read a bit of it. And he says that, quote, the phrase religious liberty and religious freedom will stand for nothing except hypocrisy so long as there remain code words for discrimination, intolerance, racism, sexism, homophobia, Islamophobia, Christian supremacy, or any form of intolerance. That's what he said in his report, and which is very different from what he's telling the Washington Post now, as you could tell. He's accusing people of faith of this conspiracy of Christian supremacy, Islamophobia, homophobia, sexism, racism. You might call it a basket of deplorables, if you will. I mean, it sounds just really interesting, but you can see that he's backtracking now because of his intolerance statements in writing that he apparently doesn't want to defend as vigorously as he did before.
Now, I'm curious about the rationale behind the conclusions of this report. It seems to be that those who voted for or those who crafted this report from the commission believe that civil rights, kind of broadly defined, but especially sexual rights or freedom broadly defined, seem to view this as paramount over, I guess what we would say is First Amendment freedom.
Yes, and that's the new left ideology, where they are creating new rights that are not grounded in the original understanding of the Constitution and elevating it over what's actually in the Constitution. So we have the First Amendment, and in the First Amendment, we have protection of free exercise of religion, and religion is protected first among all because that is our fundamental right that precedes the government that deserves protection. It must be always jealously guarded because it's always going to be under attack. And the point of having religious freedom protections is to protect those views that are currently not in favor by the government. Because if everybody agreed on issues of faith, and that represented the majority well, then there wouldn't be a conflict. And now with this, actually the fruits of the sexual revolution, we're having major conflicts at all sides. Definition of marriage, definition of what it means to be a man or a woman, who gets to enter what shower, locker, or bathroom. All these issues really cut to the core and are affecting a lot of people. And when, if the views become a minority view based on faith, that's when the First Amendment really comes to the fore. The issues of equality and civil rights, there was the civil rights era, and in fact, I enforced our nation's civil rights laws as an attorney at the Department of Justice Civil Rights Division for 7 years. So I know the issue very well. And the justification for the civil rights laws was rampant, gross, grinding Jim Crow oppression. We don't see that now when it comes to the LGBT community, which is politically powerful, culturally ascendant, in Hollywood, in the academy. And this is not, and in fact, have higher average incomes. This is not an issue that in any way compares to the civil rights era. So it's actually puzzling to see the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights elevating this issue above religious discrimination and religious freedom.
You said, and you have said in the press, that this report is an attempt to discredit religious, sincere religious believers. Expand on that, if you would, Roger.
Yes, because they're saying effectively that faith is being used as a cover for discrimination, and as the Chair Castro said, sexism, homophobia, all these parade of horribles, which is simply not the case as a matter of fact. That's not what churches are doing and houses of worship. And this cuts across religions. You have Muslims, Jews, Sikhs, Buddhists, all of which have very strong beliefs related to the nature of male and female and human sexuality, etc., not motivated by any sort of nefarious Christian supremacist viewpoint. And in fact, even in the Obergefell decision by the Supreme Court, Justice Kennedy wrote that the views on marriage, being the union of one man and one woman, are based on decent and honorable premises. If even he could say that when he redefined marriage for the country, we should have at least some space for mutual respect. The views that are under attack by this report have millennia of history behind them, and they are held by decent and honorable people because they are actually decent and honorable beliefs based not on any sort of hatred, but in fact out of love. It's a vision of human flourishing. The people who believe in marriage and believe in a biblical view of human sexuality, it's out of love and because they believe that this is the proper vision for human flourishing that leads to happiness and it leads to societal success. And there's a lot of social science evidence backing those statements up. So it's not merely religious beliefs, but it is really a debate over what is the best vision for the common good. This report makes it seem as if it's something akin to the KKK, and that is beneath the dignity of the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights.
Does this report effectively single out Christian believers?
In part. So you got to be specific. So there is a majority report, and it's unfortunately a highly politicized body. This is an independent body meant to be a watchdog for civil rights, founded in the civil rights era in the 50s. It's been turned into a political, unfortunate animal. And so the members who were appointed, the Democrats appointed a majority now, Republicans appointed a minority. Members of the majority issued this statement. They misconstrue the history of religious freedom law and its place in society. And their conclusions after misstating the history is that we need to change certain laws and statutes, like the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, to weaken it and make sure that if it ever abuts against any civil rights laws, particularly on LGBT issues, religious freedom has to give way. When the Religious Freedom Restoration Act is simply a balancing test that says you're going to weigh any burden against religious freedom, it must be justified by a really compelling government interest, and it has to be done as a last resort. That is a great test that has served us well. It was this test before in the Supreme Court, and it was after the Supreme Court strayed from it, Congress responded and passed the Religious Freedom Restoration Act in 1993. And we've been living with it wonderfully. And the left was in favor of it because it supported church soup kitchens. It supported Muslims who wanted to grow beards in prisons and Jews who sought kosher food. It was a left-right agreement. But now that one of the left's pet issues now butts up against it, all of a sudden they're screaming discrimination when before it was perfectly fine when it was minority religions that were doing it. So there is a flavor of anti-Christian, especially in Castro's statement, which was a separate statement, when he alleges there's something afoot regarding Christian supremacy And last time I checked, the Orthodox Christians are not controlling the levers of power in this country, certainly not in the court system and political branches. It's strong and vibrant part of American culture, but it's no way what I call politically supreme.
What force does this report from the U.S. Civil Rights Commission have?
Well, it's their point. They exist in order to shed light on the issues of civil rights in America and to come up with policy prescriptions. But as I mentioned, it's become a highly politicized body, and these recommendations are effectively the recommendations from the Human Rights Campaign, the gay rights groups. And I would not call it serious scholarship because it was so slanted, and the conclusions certainly do not follow from their analysis. And the conclusions is part, unfortunately, of a growing secularist trend that sees religious freedom as somehow a impediment to progress. So if you don't get on board with the left's agenda when it comes to sexual morality, sexual orientation, or gender identity, then you're behind the times, and you have to get with the program. And the most insidious part of it, of the whole report, I believe, is the implication that is the religious beliefs that have to change. Because they say that, well, back in the Jim Crow era, there were some religious groups that were in favor of Jim Crow, and they've dropped their beliefs. Hint, hint, you should drop your beliefs about homosexuality, just like beliefs about slavery are dropped. That is insulting to say that issues of sexual morality are akin to issues of support for slavery. One is clearly an abuse of religious belief, which of course can happen, and the other, as I mentioned, based on decent and honorable premises.
What effect do you expect this report to have?
Well, it's a debate in the public, and the attempt of the report was to discredit religious beliefs and religious institutions, so there has to be a public response to discredit this report, effectively, saying, look, this is why they are wrong. This is how they get our history wrong. They're inverting the American tradition of tolerance. Tolerance is saying government lets people believe what they believe. Gays and lesbians can live as they want to live. People of faith can live as they want to live. When government is now coming in and punishing bakers and florists because they want to operate their businesses along religious principles, punishing the Little Sisters of the Poor because they don't want to provide abortion-inducing drugs and devices to their employees, when they're punishing all sorts of religious groups because of their beliefs about fundamental questions of the good of society, governments just step back and let people believe and act on their beliefs. That's why we need things like the First Amendment Defense Act in Congress. And so this report actually spurs that conversation, why we need something like the First Amendment Defense Act, to make sure that religious institutions won't lose their tax-exempt status because of their policies on marriage, won't lose grants and contracts, licensing, accreditation. Mississippi passed a version of the First Amendment Defense Act called the Government Non-Discrimination Act, and Governor Phil Bryant was attacked mercilessly by the left, and he has held firm and has standing tall because religious liberty is worth fighting for. And we can have a society where religious liberty is respected and gays and lesbians are not treated badly, and certainly not by the government. And that's where we are, and that's where we should be. We need to have places where religious liberty is protected first, because that is our first guiding principle.
Finally, what would your general response be to what I think is a growing paring down of the definition of the constitutional free exercise to what it sounds like Martin Castro is advocating here in this report and his subsequent statements? And that is, look, you guys have freedom to worship privately and believe privately, but you cannot act on those things publicly. What would your response be?
Yeah, and that's where the gross misrepresentation of our religious freedom principles come in. Our history has always been about protecting actions, not just internal beliefs. Now, of course, internal beliefs must be protected, and you have to have the beliefs, and then you have the action. So there is an order there. One comes first. But what's the point of having the beliefs if you can't live them out? And that is the problem we're facing now, is people of faith aren't able to live out their beliefs. And ironically, this was the same argument that LGBT left was saying, that government wasn't letting them live out their beliefs. Well, now that they have decriminalized same-sex conduct in the 90s and 2000s, and now same-sex marriage, according to their logic, they should have stopped pushing. But they continue because it's not about letting live and let live. It's about making sure other people conform. So people of faith have to change their beliefs. And unfortunately, that's where this movement has been going. And you see it now with the bathroom, shower, locker room controversy. It wasn't simply about gender identity and having an accommodation. It is about, no, accommodations themselves are discrimination. Everybody else must conform. You must allow a biological male into the girl shower. That's what must be allowed. And that's a winner-take-all sort of viewpoint. And I think that's a shame because we're not a society that should swing that far because it really does represent intolerance.
Roger Severino is director of the DeVos Center for Religion and Civil Society at the Heritage Foundation based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the Heritage Foundation at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Roger, thank you very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
Carol Tobias will join us on the other side of the break, president of National Right to Life. We're going to talk about Planned Parenthood funding and a possible government shutdown. I'm talking with regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb about a new book by one of his former professors. Which one, Ken?
The late Dr. Kurt Marquardt. And the book is The Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People.
You edited this book.
Yeah, the unpublished manuscript was among Marquardt's papers, and it is vintage Marquardt, lively, engaging, centering in the Christ who saves, with an apologetics chapter at the end.
You can find out more about Saving Truth, Doctrine for Lay People at lutheracademy.com.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.